Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Now then, you're very welcome back. So today, Leinster's James Lowe has been helping to highlight the relaunch of Rugby Players Ireland and Zurich's Tackle Your Feelings mental wellbeing app as part of their Take Control campaign. So this campaign aims to promote a proactive attitude towards mental health and to provide people with the tools to, quote, take control of their mental wellbeing using sports psychology and positive psychology principles. So James Lowe was out promoting that today. Earlier on, our own Will O'Callaghan sat down with him.
James, last time I spoke to you was Celtic Park. You just won the Pro 14. It was a nice way to finish the season for Leinster, but you've had a long way to get ready for this year, haven't you?
Yeah, it seems like that there's, forever ago. When was that, June? March? End of March?
Early June.
Yeah, early June. Jeepers. Pre-season's been very, very long. I had shoulder surgery, so I've been, chilling out a fair bit. But, we've literally been in for, two and a half months. But, we've had breaks in and out. It's been broken up. We understand that the season's a marathon. I just can't wait to get back out there.
How is the shoulder now at this stage? You missed a trip to Canada as a result.
No, I did not miss that. I was there as a social advisor. And I was fortunate enough to still... There was a seat on the plane for me there. The shoulder's feeling good. Had a few problems, unfortunately, in terms of got back running, my back got sore. Get my back better, calf blew out. The shoulder is feeling good. A little bit undercooked at the moment, but hopefully be back running around shortly.
Is it difficult given, so many of your players are at the World Cup at the moment, given it's been such a long preseason? It must feel very different to your first 2 years there.
Yeah, it is. It's a different environment, I guess, just because there's so many young fellas around. But they're all up to date now with what's expected of them. It's cool seeing all the boys on TV first thing in the morning. There's never been so many people watching rugby first thing in the morning. But the young fellas have, like I said, they've fit in very, very well, and it's going to be an exciting start to the season.
We're talking about tackling your feelings, and I think you've been home, once since 2017, back to New Zealand?
Yeah.
Is that tricky when you move to a new country, you leave your family base behind, and you became an uncle recently as well, and you're obviously away from that?
Yeah, so, I've just had a little niece turn up, so that's the second one. It sucks to be away for things like that, but it was my own decision to move over here. I understood that things like this I was going to miss out on, Christmases, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, all that. But technology is an awesome thing, and, I can ring home and talk to friends and family very easy. The toughest thing is probably getting away from that safety net of friends and family when things aren't going well. But you get used to it, and you learn to cope.
How have you found the adjustment to moving to Ireland? Because you're up 2 and a bit years here now.
Coming up living, 2 years,
Living in Dublin. How has it been compared to kind of living in New Zealand then?
It's very, very exciting. It's very, very different in many ways. It's a very happening place. There's always, ways to entertain yourself. Back home, where I'm from, it's a small enough place called Nelson. It's got about 60, 70,000 people in the city. We don't have a university, not too much going on. It's a beachy sort of place. Coming over here, man, it's awesome. My girlfriend and I are really enjoying ourselves. We're well accustomed to, going out for dinners. We know how to get around town now. So, life's good. We're both enjoying it.
Are you going to miss Sean O'Brien? Because I think he was fairly important to you when you moved in, no?
No, I will not miss Sean O'Brien. He's still around at the moment, still rehabbing away. An awesome dude to have in an environment. Definitely, he's an enforcer. He leads by his actions. His heart, while he was here, was still firmly with Leinster. Be a sad loss, but that's life. People grow and move, and it's just part of rugby.
Is it true, or is it a Sean O'Brien story that you stole his furniture after you left?
He's delusional, mate. He was kind enough to offer me a bed when I first got to got to Dublin, which I'm very, very grateful for. But, like, you know, I didn't know I had to, you know, clean the kitchen for him while he was away. And, you know, he wasn't even there and the place was a pigsty. There was pizza boxes everywhere. And, you know, can't say I'm ungrateful for everything he's done, but jeepers, man, he's not the tidiest of humans.
When it comes to residency, you're now 1 year away from qualifying for Ireland. You've been speaking about this a bit in recent weeks. Are you excited about the prospect of playing international rugby for Ireland if they decide to call you up next year?
Yeah, very, very well put. Normally they try and trip me up with the wording of the question. So, yeah, like if the opportunity does come, then like I'm super excited. I've always thought I'd, you know, I'm good enough for the world stage, and if the opportunity does come, man, I'm take it with both hands, and I'm, you know, it's an exciting prospect.
There's a sliding door moment. I mean, 2015, if you don't get injured, you play against Samoa.
Yeah.
You've been capped by the All Blacks. You probably never played for Leinster.
Yeah.
Was that hard to take at the time that you were so close to getting representative honours with New Zealand and then to miss it because of injury?
Yeah, well, I still thought, like, I knew at that time, yeah, I'm missing it now, but I thought the opportunity was going to come again. So I guess my mindset was like, okay, get surgery and next year's going to be a big shot, you know. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. To know, like, yeah, I know I came so, so close. And, you know, it was my decision to move over here. And I was just saying before, I made my bed. And now, like, you know, it's a pretty good bed to be lying in now being over here. So, you know, if I did get capped, there's a slim chance I'd be sitting here now.
Was that a difficult decision in 2017? The offer comes from the RFU and from Leinster to move to Dublin. I think you spoke to your dad in the car to kind of talk about your decision. How difficult a conversation was that?
Oh, yeah, you know, like literally I remember getting the offer. I was, you know, it was a weird time. I was with Brad Weber at the time. I showed him. He's like, holy heck, mate, if you can get me a portion of the pie, I'll come with you. But, you know, and then it sort of settled. I kind of understood my situation, you know, like I hadn't really thought about leaving. And then I guess that was kind of the kick in the direction that sort of said, well, like, look, if you want, there's an awesome opportunity to go over to the other side of the world and, you know, play rugby. And talking to my dad in the car, I literally said, like, Dad, I think I'm going to go. And he's like, I thought you would have been an All Black by now, you know. So, like, we were kind of both on the same page. And, you know, it's a tough conversation to have, but, I mean, if you don't have tough conversations in life, you know you're going to sit in some dark places. So that's all part of life. It's about growing up. And, you know, my parents are very, very happy for me now, for myself and my girlfriend. We're living life over here and really enjoying it. And, you know, it hasn't turned out too bad.
In all likelihood, you're going to be one of the last players to qualify under the three-year residency rule.
Yeah.
In your opinion, is that too short a window? Is 5 years the right kind of time?
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? I can dig myself a big hole if I really want to here. But, you know, like they're the rules that were set out. And I guess when people were starting to understand, like, you know, people from New Zealand were like, well, I don't think I'm going to be an All Black if I go now, like, financially, for a lot of them, it's going to be a lot better. They'll get paid a lot more, a lot sooner, still be able to play international rugby. So, yeah, I think 5 years is probably the way to go. I think it's a step in the right direction, because then when you're in your teens, you have to make a decision then, you know, and people aren't going to leave home in their teens. So, yeah, I think it is a step in the right direction. Fortunately, I'm under the three-year bracket.
What did you make of the discussion around Bundiaki, John Klein? I'm sure you saw what Luke Fitzgerald said about he felt maybe you'd feel bad if Gary Ringrose gets left out and Bundiaki starts in the World Cup. What have you kind of made in that discussion? Would that turn you off in any way in terms of declaring for Ireland?
Come on, people are going to say what they want to say anyway, you know. And obviously from Lukey's perspective, he's an ex-Irish international. So, it's like it's an interesting topic no matter how you look at it. But, you know, those boys who are now representing Ireland, like, they're doing, you know, they're just trying to become better footy players. A lot of them are givers, you know, like Bundy won Supporters Player of the Year the first year he was here. You know, they're all people just trying to give back, understanding how lucky they are to be given this opportunity. Like, they're not take. There's a lot of giving in a lot of these boys, so it is what it is.
I know you've said previously your heart is kind of here as much as your head at the moment as well. Is that something that you can kind of, I guess, grow a love for a country that you moved to as well?
Yeah, well, I think Ireland is a lot like New Zealand in a lot of ways, you know, like a lot smaller than others, don't quite have, you know, we don't have everything. I guess it's a, but the people are very, very similar as well. Very, very kind, giving, appreciate small things, appreciate the simple things of life, you know. So from the minute we got here, everyone's been so nice, so giving, so thoughtful. You know, I was, my first Christmas alone, like I'm around at the Dan Levy's house, you know, like I never would have thought like a year before that I'd be sitting at, you know, Leaf's house, and then all of a sudden he has his breakthrough Six Nations, you know, and he's a freak. You know, there's all these little things that sort of happen and just makes you understand how blooming lucky we are. Yeah.
You've had two seasons at this stage to adjust to Northern Hemisphere rugby. How different is it coming from maybe the free-flowing rugby of the Mitre Cup and playing Super Rugby compared to Northern Hemisphere rugby, where there's a lot more kicking and maybe a winger doesn't get his hand on the ball as much as he would in the Southern Hemisphere?
You know, like I still do my best to get my hands on the ball as much as I can. I think the big difference is probably how it's refereed, especially around the ruck. So, like referees, I guess back home in New Zealand, they want a more expansive, free-flowing game because they know it's more appealing. Over here, the breakdown is such a huge contest, you know. The weather plays a huge part. You look at Super Rugby, there's not many games you see in the rain, you know. It's just that time of year. People want to see open, free-flowing rugby. Over here, pitch conditions, weather, all that sort of plays a part to why the breakdown is such a big contest. And yeah, I think that there's the bigger difference. Yeah, kick a bit more over here. I don't mind kicking. I don't mind kicking and chasing. Still got my hands on the ball. I don't see too many differences, no.
The narrative was when you arrived in Ireland, James Law was going to have to work in the defensive side of his game.
Yeah.
Have Stuart Lancaster and Leo Cullen done anything specific with you defensively? Or?
It's just like a different defensive system, you know, between the Southern Hemisphere and the Northern Hemisphere. And, you know, I've learnt, I now know exactly how lengths to defend. And, you know, like it's easy once you get to know it. But if you get thrown into the deep end, you get thrown into something completely new. You know, when I had the ball in hand, I felt fine defensively. I had no idea what was going on. Well, not no idea, but I was just, you know, stuck in what I knew. Like, at the moment, man, like, I'm finding defense is probably my easiest bit at the moment. I just listen to Gary. Whatever Gary does, just follow him. So, yeah, like, they did have a big play, but it was more just understanding of the systems. I don't mind tackling people. That's never been the problem.
Jordan Larmour, one of your buddies, played fullback last weekend against Scotland. I thought he had a really good game, slotting in for Rob Kearney. Do you think 15 is a position he could end up in later in his career?
Yeah, I guess that comes, you know, not to say that he isn't mature, but as you grow into the game and have a better understanding of game management, I could definitely see him playing 15. Even here at Leinster, you know, he's played a lot at 15. His work rate's phenomenal. He's ridiculously fit and can create something out of nothing. He did play very well. Same with Conway and Stockdale. You know, Stockdale made some awesome reads and smoked Stuart Hogg a few times. I still think that even after that round one, I still think Rob is your number one choice at fullback. Cool, calm, collected, big left foot on him, covers a lot of meters, you know. And then if you think you've got two game breakers on the wings, like that's where your X factor comes from, you know. So, I think he's definitely going to end up at fullback for Leinster.
You play obviously in a back three regularly with Rob Kearney. Is that the kind of protection that he offers you and the leadership maybe just behind him?
Yeah, I mean, he's the old boy who's seen it a million times, you know. Seen those pictures unfold so many times. He just knows where to be and when to be there. You know, that's the security you get with Rob. You know, obviously probably isn't moving as well as what he used to, but his communication is as clear as ever. Can still put in an 80-minute performance where you're just like, jeepers, that's the Rob we know.
Did Did you feel a bit for Devin Toner missing out, given he played so much over the 4 years before the World Cup?
Yeah, obviously you do feel for poor Dev. I was absolutely gutted for him. He's an awesome guy off the pitch. We were all as surprised as everyone. But unfortunately, that's the way the cookie crumbles, and Joe's got the master plan, and I mean, after round one, you'd say the plan is looking pretty good. It's just unfortunate Dev's not in it.
Yeah, I mean, things are good after round one. That was a really good performance against Scotland. Mm. Probably Ireland's best of 2019. People were very critical, obviously, in August, particularly after Twickenham. Mm. Is it a case of Ireland maybe look like they've peaked properly for the tournament?
It's hard to say after round one, but they were ridiculously good, That front five was world class. I don't think I've ever seen Best play 80 minutes, and he's, in my eyes, probably had man of the match written all over it. The props were ridiculous. The bench was very, very good. Ian Henderson, James Ryan, they were both ridiculous. Omani went off after 20. Jack Conan was good. It was a very, very good performance from the forward pack. Bundy went off. Chris Farrell played. He played outstanding to me. The back three, everyone was worried about, and all of a sudden, Conway scores that ridiculous try. So, it looks good now. Hopefully they get through the rest of these games and, knock over South Africa in the quarter.
Well, Brian O'Driscoll thought it was the best performance of the weekend coming from Ireland. I think your home nation, New Zealand, probably, especially that four-minute spell where they ran off 17 points, were extremely impressive against South Africa as well. For you, New Zealand still the team to beat in this tournament?
I think, and deservedly so after that performance, South Africa had probably a lot of hype around them leading up, and they still do. New Zealand just weathered that 20-minute storm, and then, all of a sudden they're, going into halftime 15 points down. There's not many teams that can do that to you, but it's probably a good blueprint for Ireland to look at if they are to come up against them in the quarter. So, it's going to be a tough ask, but I don't want to look too far forward, but I definitely think they can be targeting a semi-final.
Horrible question for you to field, but if Ireland were to play New Zealand in the last four or the final, depending on what happens later in the tournament, would you have conflicted loyalties if it happened?
I would. And obviously, I've got friends, and you take off all the jerseys, I've got friends in both camps. So Ireland will play New Zealand in the final. It'll go to extra time. Jonathan can't play 80 minutes. Joey will kick a drop goal and win, and he's a Kiwi playing for Ireland anyway, so that's what's going to happen.
On a very final note, Leinster, obviously season coming up, end of this month the Pro 14 starts. You guys are, if you get to finals, going to be playing well into June next year with the way the season has gone. Obviously things have been pretty medal laden for you so far. The only disappointment really, the Saracens defeat in the European final. What are the hopes for Leinster this year, because it is going to be a fairly fragmented season?
Yeah, it's going to be a weird one. Obviously after the World Cup, to see, it's just about reintegrating everyone. The fact that they're in such an intense environment, in the back of their head they're thinking, I've got 9 more months of footy, can I do it? So it'll be about making sure those boys, when they do come back, they're rested, they're ready to go again, bodies are right, mentally they're refreshed, and we're going after two trophies again. That's just that's the Leinster way. That's what we try and do every year.
James, good to catch up with you, and best of luck with the season. Rugby on
Off the Ball with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.